Not a customer had been in to interrupt this family discussion. The shop remained dark and empty. At the other end, the two young men and the young women were still working, talking in a low, hissing tone amongst themselves. However, three ladies arrived, and Denise was left alone for a moment. She kissed Pepe with a swelling heart at the thought of their approaching separation. The child, affectionate as a kitten, hid his head without saying a word. When Madame Badu and Genevieve returned, they remarked how quiet he was. Denise assured them he never made any more noise than that, remaining for days together without speaking, living on kisses and caresses. Until lunchtime, the three women sat and talked about children, housekeeping, life in Paris, and life in the country. In short, vague sentences, like relations feeling rather awkward through not knowing one another very well. Jean had gone to the shop door and stood there watching the passing crowd and smiling at the pretty girls. At 10 o'clock, a servant appeared. As a rule, the cloth was laid for Badu, Genevieve, and the first hand. A second lunch was served at 11 o'clock for Madame Badu, the other young man, and the young woman. "Come to lunch," called out the draper, turning towards his niece. And as all sat ready in the narrow dining room behind the shop, he called the first hand who had not come. "Colomban." The young man apologized, having wished to finish arranging the flannels. He was a big, stout fellow of 25, heavy and freckled, with an honest face, large weak mouth, and cunning eyes. "There's a time for everything," said Badu, solidly seated before a piece of cold veal, which he was carving with a master's skill and prudence, weighing each piece at a glance to within an ounce. He served everybody and even cut up the bread. Denise had placed Pepe near her to see that he ate properly. But the dark, close room made her feel uncomfortable. She thought it so small, after the large, well-lighted rooms she had been accustomed to in the country. A single window opened on a small backyard, which communicated with the street by a dark alley along the side of the house. And this yard, sodden and filthy, was like the bottom of a well into which a glimmer of light had fallen. In the winter, they were obliged to keep the gas burning all day long. When the weather enabled them to do, without gas, it was duller still. Denise was several seconds before her eyes got sufficiently used to the light to distinguish the food on her plate. "That young chap has a good appetite," remarked Badu, observing that Jean had finished his veal. "If he works as well as he eats, he'll make a fine fellow. But you, my girl, you don't eat. And I say, now we can talk a bit. Tell us why you didn't get married at Valognes." Denise almost dropped the glass she had in her hand. "Oh, uncle, get married. How can you think of it? And the little ones?" She was forced to laugh. It seemed to her such a strange idea. Besides, what man would care to have her? A girl without a sou, no fatter than a laugh, and not at all pretty. No, no, she would never marry. She had quite enough children with her two brothers. "You are wrong," said her uncle. "A woman always needs a man. If you had found an honest young fellow, you wouldn't have dropped onto the Paris pavement, you and your brothers, like a family of gypsies." He stopped to divide with a parsimony full of justice, a dish of bacon and potatoes which the servant brought in. Then, pointing to Genevieve and Colomban with his spoon, he added, "Those two will be married next spring if we have a good winter season." Such was the patriarchal custom of the house. The founder, Aristide Finet, had given his daughter, Desiree, to his first hand, Hotchkorn. He, Badu, who had arrived in the Rue de la Miquetière with 7 francs in his pocket, had married old Hotchkorn's daughter, Elizabeth, and he intended, in his turn, to hand over Genevieve and the business to Colomban as soon as trade should improve. If he thus delayed a marriage, decided on for 3 years past, it was by a scruple and obstinate probity. He had received the business in a prosperous state and did not wish to pass it on to his son-in-law less patronized or in a worse position than when he took it. Badu continued, introducing Colomban, who came from Rambouillet, the same place as Madame Bada's father. In fact, they were distant cousins. A hard-working fellow, who for 10 years had slaved in the shop, fairly earning his promotions. Besides, he was far from being a nobody. He had for father that noted toper, Colomban, a veterinary surgeon, known all over the department of Saint-Oz, an artist in his line, but so fond of the flowing bowl that he was ruining himself. "Thank heaven," said the draper in conclusion. "If the father drinks and runs after the women, the son has learnt the value of money here."